Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, evangelist for the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the following sermon. Please follow the example of those noble-hearted folks in Acts 17:11 and compare the following teaching with the Word of God. If, after careful examination, you feel the things I've taught are in accordance with God's Word, then I exhort you to apply these truths to your life so that you may be a faithful servant of the Lord. On the other hand, if you believe I've taught error in any way, please contact me and let's study together and try to come to the right conclusion based upon God's holy word. You can find my contact information on our website at defendthegospel.com. That's defendthegospel.com. Now to the sermon.
It is a great honor and a great blessing to be a parent and to be a mother. Children are a gift from God. And the Bible tells us that. It's one of the great and marvelous blessings of life. But it brings with it a tremendous responsibility and a series of great challenges. As you rear your children and strive to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And then as you continue to think about them and pray for them throughout their entire life, that feeling never goes away. When your children reach 18 or whatever age and they move off, they haven't moved off at all in your heart. And those same thoughts and those same feelings that began from the moment you conceived these children are still there and still with you until the day that you die. Your heart is often filled with great joy and comfort and love, and with heartaches and heartbreaks and tears. People speak of the joys of motherhood, and it is a great joy. It's interesting to think about the perspective of children, too. When they grow up in the house that they grow up in. Someone told a story once about their mother was babysitting. The lady's telling the story. She says, my mother was babysitting my son at her house one day. Her son's name was Dirk. And when I stopped to pick him up, my mom told me that Dirk had followed her into the bedroom as she put some things away in the closet. And Dirk said, Grandma, what room is this? And she said, well, this is the closet, Dirk. Dirk says, we don't have a room like this in our house. And she said, of course you do. You have lots of closets in your house. And he kept denying that there were closets in his house. And so finally she thought she would bring it home to him, and she said, well, where do you keep all your clothes? And Dirk said, in the dryer. You know, it's a great challenge to be a mom. And things are much different today than they were several decades ago. And most of the moms that we know are not only managing the household, but they're also working 24/7, it seems like that. They do work 24/7. But they're also working a 9-to-5 or whatever the case may be job throughout the week. And then after suffering through the challenges of and the demands of that job, they're also able to take care of things around the house and to be the kind of mother that they should be. That's a tremendous thing. Certainly something worthy of praise, as it were, more than one day a year. Is Mother's Day just another day to send cards and give gifts without much thought? Have you considered all the things your mother has done for you? And if you're a Christian, you can probably thank your mother quite a bit for where you are today. And if you can't, maybe you can now make a difference in the life of someone else whose mother perhaps isn't involved, especially spiritually speaking. The Apostle Paul knew the benefits of godly mothers. And I want to think about a mother's faith this morning. In 2 Timothy, in our scripture reading, a few moments ago, 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul spoke of Timothy's mother and grandmother. And he says in verse 4, "Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." It's quite clear that Paul knew this family very closely and very intimately, and that he had a great deal of love and respect for Lois and Eunice, and a great deal of respect for the faith that was in them, and that the work that they did in standing up and meeting the responsibilities of true motherhood, to make sure that the faith that was in them was instilled into young Timothy. And what could Timothy have done to receive such a wonderful commendation from Paul? Part of the answer is given in our text. Paul recalled Timothy's sterling qualities. Verse 5, a sincere faith. And Paul obviously implies that Timothy had become the man of faith that he was because of his mother and his grandmother. I want to think very quickly this morning about a mother's faith. And the first thing I want to observe is that a mother's faith is convictional. It is a faith that is scripturally sound. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 teaches us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then in 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How many of us have memories of our mother reading the Bible to us on a regular basis, studying the Bible with us, praying with us and praying for us? Sadly, there are many who have memories like that of their mother, but none of their father. And vice versa. But it's a wonderful responsibility and a grand responsibility that a father and a mother have in bringing up their children in the training and admonition of the Lord. That command given particularly to the father in Ephesians 6, the first couple of verses. But the Proverbs, if you'll read them, are filled with exhortations for children, not only to obey their father, but to obey the law of your mother. Anybody have a mother that laid down the law? I did. But children need to hear their mother teaching them and praying with them and instilling faith with them, making sure that they're going down to worship with the church on a faithful basis. That alone instills a great deal of faith into the young heart of a child when they see the devotion of their mother and their father, and they want to emulate that. Isn't it marvelous how children want to be just like you? I still marvel at that, how my son wants to, you know, I may walk around in my old ratty hat, and he wants to wear his hat. Or to wear what daddy wears, or do what daddy does. Children are watching you and they want to be like you. How does that translate from a spiritual standpoint? How is your devotion? What are you teaching them through that? Not only is a mother's faith being convictional, scripturally sound, but it's savingly sure. Acts 16, verse 1. "He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. And again, 2 Timothy 3:15. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Timothy's father. The implication when it says that his mother was a believer but doesn't mention that about his father, the implication is that his father was not a believer. It's not a necessary implication, but there is an implication there. And perhaps Timothy was one of those children who was raised up under the faith and spiritual tutelage of their mother when that was absent with their father. And oh, what a wonderful job that this woman must have done to help to ensure the salvation of her child when he grew older. The Bible teaches us that if we instill those things in them, that they'll carry with them for life. They'll never depart from it. Proverbs are, I've said this for many years, and many people misunderstand it. Proverbs are general truths. In other words, this is true most of the time, but not always. We know of parents who raised their children right and did very well, but then one of the children went astray as they got older. Yes, perhaps, but all those things are still planted in the heart. And there's always hope that they'll remember those roots and come back to them before it's too late. A mother's faith is convictional. Perhaps a mother is the first preacher that a child will ever know. That through her working with her child spiritually, can convict that child to devote their life to Christ when they grow up. But here's the second thing about a mother's faith. A mother's faith is communicable. You know, it's almost a shame that we only use that word when we're talking about diseases. But what I mean is faith is communicated. It's communicated, one, by personal education. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when He said to me, "Assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children." God wanted parents teaching the Word of God to their children. Deuteronomy 6:6-15. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of a land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God. Serve Him only and take your oaths in His name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and His anger will burn against you, and He will destroy you from the face of this land." Those first few verses I read, which speaks about impressing them on your children, and then just throughout your daily life, always applying and talking about the Word of God. Talk about Him when you sit in your home, when you walk along the road. Today it may be when you drive down the road in the car with your family in the car. symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. Now, I see people who put magnets with scripture on their refrigerator, or they will, what is it called, cross knit or something. But they'll have something framed on the wall that might be a Bible scripture. We had that those kinds of things in my house when I was growing up. That's wonderful. Always keep scripture and to keep God in the minds of your children through those even little subtle things. And to bring up spiritual conversations around the house, just sitting around the living room, lounging maybe, and you talk about baseball or whatever. Why not talk about a passage of scripture? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be sitting around in the living room and all of a sudden your child says, "Dad, I was reading this Bible verse the other day and I wonder if you can help me understand what it means." To make the environment of your house to where something like that is not odd or out of the ordinary, but that it's even expected and comfortable to just bring that up and talk about it. Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 21. "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds." Fix them in your hearts and minds. "Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many, and the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers." On and on, the Bible goes about the importance of teaching and familiarizing your children, communicating God's Word to them. Proverbs 6, verse 20. "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck." Proverbs 22:6, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not turn from it." Again, Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." And so faith is communicated by personal education. And faith is communicated by practical demonstration. Ephesians 6, verse 4. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Do not induce them to wrath. Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." 2 Timothy 3:14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." We need to put into practice the things that we're teaching our children. In the first place, we need to exemplify those things. We need to strive to avoid hypocrisy in the home. And that's difficult to do. But your children are watching you. And when you discipline them for certain things and they catch you being guilty of the same, what kind of message does that send? And we need to discipline them. That's a practical part of instruction, as the NIV translated here, instruction. Discipline is the word that is used in others. And the idea involves the concept of what we call a good old-fashioned spanking. That's one way that we communicate to them to instill in them the principles that they need to learn to live their lives by. And there's always that balance that's very challenging to strike. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. That can be done through not being careful with your discipline. Spanking your children over an accident, something that they didn't mean to do. Sometimes you get on to them and you think later, maybe I was hasty and I shouldn't have done that. Sometimes apologies are necessary, even to your children. What father is there who did not spank before asking? And later seeing that they were really unjust in that spanking. A friend of mine years ago used to say whenever that happened to his children, and then he found out later that he didn't have all the information and probably shouldn't have given the spank, and he would tell his children, well, just count that one up to something you did behind my back and got away with once. I don't know. But I do know it's certainly a great challenge. And hopefully we get better along the way as we pray and ask God for wisdom. But it must be done. We cannot get discouraged in that. We must press on. Even when we make mistakes and perhaps spank when we shouldn't have and realize it, we can't just say, I'm just going to stop doing that altogether. We've got to press on and keep on because our children need that. And then finally, number three, a mother's faith is commendable. I want us to see the lasting influence of a mother's faith. Paul commended Eunice and Lois. He didn't just commend Timothy's genuine faith, but he commended theirs too, because he said it was first in them. And then they communicated to us, and that was to be commended. Have you ever commended your mother? I know today a lot of people have and do. They call and say, Happy Mother's Day. Have you ever really just sat down, perhaps not on Mother's Day, but any day, and just thanked your mother for all that she did for you when you were growing up? Especially if you're faithful in the Lord. And a lot of that is due to the teaching that she gave you and the molding that she gave you as you grew up. Do you commend them for that? And show them honor in that way. Hebrews 11, verses 4 and 5, and then verse 11 and verse 31. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. On and on and on. Hebrews chapter 11, we see commendations of the faith of tremendously faithful servants of God. It's good to commend people. It encourages them. Maybe it's a mother you know. Maybe it's a young mother who's working hard to do a good job with her children. Do we just look at that situation and say, well, she shouldn't have done it that way, and boy, I'm glad I did it different this time. Or do we find the good things she's doing and we appreciate the struggle she's going through and then commend them and thank them for the work they're doing with their children? It's always good to look for the things that we can appreciate and commend. And that makes it easier. And that makes it much better accepted if we ever do offer any type of advice or help. But there is a lasting influence of a mother's faith. The hope that all this that you go through all those years with your child, what you are striving for is the end result of the salvation of your child's soul. That's really the biggest thing. Yes, you would like to train them to be responsible people. You'd like to help provide some sort of platform there that they can spring off of and become successful in business and in this world and in life. But in the end, the most important influence you'll ever have on them is how you influence them spiritually. And what will be the eternal outcome of their soul? There's not just the lasting influence of a mother's faith, but there's the living relevance of a mother's faith. A mother's faith is extremely relevant, and it always will be. I'm blessed to still have my mama. She's 85 years old, I think, 84 or 85. She's born in 1936, I'll tell you that, September. So you do the math. I'm not a math guy. But her influence still affects my life and all the things she did for me growing up. Making sure we were in church, and that wasn't always an easy task. Because I wasn't exactly an accommodating child, to put it mildly. There were times when even my dad, who never went to church, would get up and say, "Son, you get ready and go to church with your mama." And I did. And she kept at it. And she elbowed me and she punched me and she did what it took to keep me awake. And I grew and I learned and I followed. And I'm thankful for all that she put into that. And I know that even at her age, she doesn't go to bed at night without thinking about her children and their souls. It's still relevant even today, a mother's faith. Because as a child who's a fully grown man and getting plenty of gray hairs, my mother's faith is still very relevant to me and still strengthens me when I think of it. And I know there are many who have not blessed to have their mama for so long. And yet their mama, although they're dead, their faith still speaks. Just like Abel. And it still affects the lives that they live in service to the Lord. What a great blessing it is to be a mother. And what a tremendous responsibility that comes along with it. But if we study those responsibilities, pray every day to God for wisdom in the daily decision making, and the daily activities and the daily deeds that must be done as a mother. If we weather the storm, enjoying all the joy that comes along with it, we can instill a lasting faith into the hearts of our children. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Are you a child of God, a Christian? The Bible tells us exactly how to become a disciple of Christ. It begins by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. After hearing, one must believe in Jesus as God's Son. The Lord Himself said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins," John 8:24. After hearing and believing, one must then repent of his sins. He must make a conscious decision that from this point on, he will no longer serve sin and Satan, but will serve the Lord, Acts 2:38. One must then be willing to confess his faith in Christ. With the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. One is now ready to be baptized for the remission of his sins. Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22:16,
Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Baptism is that point where the precious blood of Christ finally connects with our sins and washes them away. If we may assist you in obeying the gospel, you can contact us through our website at defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.